Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Singing for Your Soul radio show. I'm your host, Kimberly Harrison, and at Singing for Your Soul, we're all about living lives in which our voices and our souls sing. So whether it's sounding better in singing and speaking, or it's feeling more self-expressed, more self-confident, sharing our authentic voices with the world, or living lifestyles that support our creativity and our abundance and our health and our wellness, there are really so many things that go into voice work. So it's really life work. And I actually am stealing this quote from a client who said this recently in one of her sessions, and I made her stop so I could write it down because I thought, oh, that's just so well said. So she said, this is so much more than singing. This is life. It's our exploration of how to interconnect our finite human nature with our infinite spiritual nature through our voices and sound and vibration. It's deep, soulful deliciousness, like chocolate. So you mentioned chocolate, and I'm all in. I mean, chocolate describes lusciousness to me in one word. So I loved that description. And, you know, it's February. It's the month of Valentine's Day. My birthday is also this month. So to me, I have a couple days in this month where I get to eat really luscious desserts. So we're going to talk on the show, which is inspired by Valentine's Day. But before we jump into the show topic, I just want to let you know that I'm coming to you from rural Michigan, from the fields and the forests and the farmland where we moved about a year and a half ago. And I love being here. And the reason I'm mentioning that I'm here is because I like doing the show from my little studio. We built this little music studio in our backyard, and it overlooks this beautiful field. It's surrounded by trees. I love being out here. It's helping me reconnect with my wild nature, the wild woman within, you know, setting those taproots deep. It's been absolutely a beautiful experience. And today, I didn't realize how windy it had gotten. I came out earlier this morning and was just blown away by the gorgeousness of this day. We've had not as much snow as the rest of the country has been getting. For some reason, southern Michigan has had, like, the lightest winter while everybody else is getting pummeled. And I'm not saying that to rub it in. It's very interesting how that happens. And I actually really enjoy snow, so I kind of missed it. But anyway, we had a lot of rain yesterday, and it warmed up to almost 50 degrees, if not 50 degrees. And so this morning, there was just this gorgeous mist, and it smelled like everything was thawing. It smelled like spring. The birds, I mean, I'm hearing geese. I think they're very confused because we haven't had much of a winter. So all the birds are singing, which is very strange for February. Usually it's really quiet this time of year. You might hear a chickadee or two, but you're not going to hear as much bird song as I was hearing. Anyway, it was absolutely gorgeous. And so then I went back in to prepare for the show today. And when I came back out to the studio, it had gotten really windy. So I apologize if there is sound. There are trees that touch the studio, and when the branches get going, it's making a lot of sound. And there's something hanging on the outside of the studio that's banging. So anyway, it might be an ambient situation here, but we'll just roll with it. So this month's show is inspired by Valentine's Day, and what I believe to be one of the most important relationships in our lives, and that is our relationship with our own, dun, 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 our own voices. Yes. It's really central to our communication every single day. So just take a second to think about this. Is your relationship with your voice a sultry love affair, a hot and bothered mess, or maybe it's just a dysfunctional disaster? I don't know. I definitely know that mine has been all of the above and more. And that, you know, I mean, what can I say? It's pretty much life for you. No relationship is perfect. things are always a balancing act. There's always something that you're learning and moving through. Somebody posted on Facebook on the show. I posted the show on Facebook today, and a friend posted that his voice was sort of in relationship therapy. And that made me laugh out loud because that's a really good way of putting it. My voice is in relationship therapy. So we naturally go through a lot of stages with our voices. So I'm not trying to point to us getting to this perfect place where we've got this, you know, perfect voice. It's just that we're always going to be working in one way or another to have our voices be physically healthier, more aligned with what I call our voice with a capital V. And that's really how we're showing up in our lives. So, you know, there's a good chance that you've never thought about your voice in this way as like a central relationship in your life. You know, our voices are really something, they're this aspect of ourselves that we often take for granted. So until something goes wrong and we can't rely on it like we once did, we're almost not even aware that we have it. You know, it's like you don't notice your teeth until suddenly you've got this horrible toothache and then you're like, oh my gosh. So with our voices, you know, if you've ever had laryngitis, you know how difficult life can become when you suddenly can't be heard. And I mean like literally and figuratively, okay? So maybe you've got laryngitis and you can't be heard, or maybe you're feeling that way in your life with your self-expression that you're not being heard. So if we don't care properly for our absolutely amazing voices, this is a reality that can very much happen, but it could happen on a longer-term basis. So we're wanting to avoid that, and thus the topic of this month's show. So we're going to be looking at developing a healthy relationship with our voices. And to do this, we're going to first go over some basic vocal health points. So, you know, good things to eat, to drink, things to watch out for, acid reflux, self-care, some holistic alternatives. And then we're going to be delving in the second half of the show into more emotional aspects of having a healthy voice. And that includes how to use our voices for physical and emotional healing, or some ideas around how to do that. So you might want to have a pen and paper handy if you're a note taker, because we're really just going to dive in and go for it. So last year I wrote this little poem. It's called Ode to My Voice, and I wanted to read it because it really does, in a very cute and silly way, express my sentiments on this topic. So here it is, Ode to My Voice. Speaking away, so much to say, you are with me each and every day. Together through life we'll always be, so I'm going to treat you like royalty. We're living our lives so intertwined, won't you please be my Valentine? Aww. So that is really how I've come to feel about my voice. And I will tell you, it has been a long journey and it continues to be. But I really do have this almost real experience in my relationship with my voice. So I'm inviting you to step into that experience if you haven't done so yet. So we're going to talk about vocal health here. And first up is healthy vocal habits. So in general, I probably don't even need to say this because you already know it, but I guess it never hurts to say it again and hear it in a new way. We want to treat our bodies like our temples. So whenever possible, we want to be treating ourselves as the amazing beings that we are. So we want to eat cleanly and exercise and rest and take good care of ourselves, right? Our voices are a physical emanation of our physical body, and when our physical body isn't in good shape, it's going to impact our voices. So, you know, I'm just offering the things that I'm going to list below as gentle guidelines, okay? I don't do well with being told very strict things about how you have to do it. I tried that when I was a child growing up, that quote, self-discipline, and I really have turned my relationship with self-discipline quite around in about 180 degrees, so I actually really love that word right now. But I'm not saying these in a way to sort of bash over your head, but just as, you know, a gentle reminder. So we're not going to go into everything about vocal health here, obviously. We're just going to hit on the hottest points. And I want to tell you that one of my favorite podcasts these days is called The Model Health Show. The Model Health Show. And it's with Sean Stevenson and Jade Harrow. And you guys, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. They have shows dedicated to pretty much anything and everything you could ever imagine with health. They talk about how to find the best water, balancing your hormones, cleansing your liver, exercise, cooking. I mean, it's just astonishing the things they go into. So I would definitely recommend checking that out for more in-depth health information. Okay? So number one on our list is to drink plenty of water. I'm not going to go into water and how to get good water. Definitely go to that Model Health Show to check out their episode on water. They have at least one in-depth episode. But in general, you're going to want to be drinking enough water, and you're going to be want to be drinking the right kind of water. So water that's mineralized and alkalized and even magnetized water. We have a countertop Centevia water filter that we absolutely love. It filters water the way that the earth would filter water. It's got a drip system. There's no electricity involved, and it mineralizes and alkalizes and magnetizes the water. It doesn't, however, filter out fluoride, so you might want to look into a filter that does filter fluoride, because that's pretty important. So I could go on about that topic, but I'm going to cut myself short. Good water and lots of it. Number two is sleep. Sleep is really important, and it's just one of those things that will affect our voices. Acid reflux is the next thing on my list. And according to the Ear, Nose, and Throat Association, acid reflux is actually the number one cause of vocal problems. It's really common in people, and many people don't even know that they have it until something goes really wrong with their voices. So acid reflux is when acid from the stomach goes back up the esophagus, and it actually can cause heartburn, and it can burn the underside of the vocal cords, because the esophagus and the vocal cords leading into the trachea are right next to each other, so that acid comes up and burns the vocal cords. As you can imagine, it's an experience that's not pleasant, and it's best avoided altogether. One of the best ways to approach acid reflux is to eat alkaline foods, okay? And I'll go into that in a second. And you're also going to not want to eat heavy or acidic, highly acidic meals too close to bedtime. So try to give yourself a few hours to digest your heavier evening meal before you go to sleep at night. Actually eating a lot late at night is really detrimental to the entire body, because rather than cleansing and repairing while you sleep, the body is actually having to expend a bunch of energy digesting. So you might want to think about that. And let me just give you a personal story here on acid reflux. My partner used to suffer from serious acid reflux, and he's a singer, was performing professionally at the time. But what he discovered is that when he started staying away from processed foods and adding kale and other alkaline veggies and staples to his diet every day, not only did he feel better all the way around, but he does not have a problem with acid reflux anymore. So he now only experiences it when he goes back to his old ways. And, I do my best to make sure that we have plenty of really delicious and nutritious options so that that doesn't happen. Again, we're not all perfect, so sometimes it does happen, but it's really, he hasn't had to take drugs to treat that. So I would definitely consider trying to get an abundance of alkalizing foods before you go the drug route with trying to take, hang on here, my table is collapsing. Okay, so going with alkaline foods before trying to go the drug route if you find out that you do have acid reflux. Now, let's talk about alkaline-forming foods. So we're going to want to keep the body between about 7.2 and 7.4 pH. That's actually a great way to avoid getting sick. And you can buy pH strips to test your saliva or your urine. to measure your pH and find that healthy balance with the foods that you're eating. The reason that that helps you stay healthy is because bacteria and viruses grow best in acidic environments. So if our body is alkaline, it impedes their growth. So it helps us stay healthier. So in general, you can find really comprehensive lists available online, but just a general guideline, fruits, including citrus fruits, which actually become alkaline in your body. So fruits, veggies, miso, tofu, most nuts and seeds, and even raw chocolate are actually alkaline-forming foods. And that is good news in my life. Meat, poultry, and dairy, sugar, for instance, are acid-forming foods. So we definitely want to try to eat a higher percentage of alkaline foods to acid foods. And another thing that helps alkalize the body, in addition to alkaline water, would be probiotics, okay? Now, a lot of people have problems with mucus. If you're a singer, you have met your match with mucus, okay? It's part of a singer's life, and usually not the most pleasant one, but I definitely try to make friends with my mucus. Now, if it's a consistent problem, you can gargle with hydrogen peroxide, and you can also try gargling or flushing your nose with a product called Alkalol. It's A-L-K-A-L-O-L, Alkalol, or with salt water, as you would do with a neti pot. Okay, so you can try that if you're having drainage or cold or allergies. If you're going to use Alkalol in a neti pot, please dilute it. Follow the directions. Look it up online. Make sure that you dilute it. I had somebody who tried it straight. No. Don't do that. That will burn. Okay. You want to, you know, like one teaspoon to the neti pot and the rest water. Okay. And also make sure, you know, if you don't have the right balance of salt, that will burn too. So when you're using a neti pot, make sure that you've done your background research. And there's actually little salt, pre-made salt packets that you can buy at the drugstore to go with your salt flushes for your neti pot. Okay, so I can't remember what they're called, but look for those. You can also order Alkalol online or get it at any drugstore pharmacy. You might have to special order it. It only costs about $5 a bottle, and it should last you a while. Okay, so those are really wonderfully helpful vocal tricks right there. If you're struggling with allergies, there's a few things that I would recommend that you try before you go the decongestant route or the Claritin, Allegra, things like that. They really, really dry you out. And, they have some really non-pleasant side effects. So there are several different things that you can do. You can try essential oils. They're a wonderful. A lot of them have antihistamine properties. They really can help treat allergies. So you can look at finding an essential oil brand that you can take internally. It's safe for internal use. And take lavender, which is an antihistamine. You can actually take that internally in a capsule. You can mix lavender and wild orange are two really good essential oils that you can try. They also have, the brand that I use has a blend that's called Breathe. So you could find a blend of oils that helps with the nasal passages. Eucalyptus is a great one to try, peppermint, wintergreen, things that have menthol in them that can really help open those nasal passages. So those are some things to try. Another option is this nasal spray that's called Nasal Cron. I love this stuff. It's spelled nasal, like nasal, and then crom, C-R-O-M as in Mary. And it's a non-toxic and non-habit-forming nasal spray, and it really took my allergies away. It takes about a week to build up in the body, so you have to kind of deal with 1 week. But once it starts working, it really works. And I found that now my body really recognizes it, and when I use it, I immediately stop having problems. It's been amazing. So definitely try that. I mean, I had crippling allergies. I was losing my voice once a month when I was living in Los Angeles. So that has really helped me. Another couple of options you might want to try are stinging nettle tincture and local bee pollen and honey, which you may have heard. Okay, next on our list is processing stress. And notice I don't say eliminate or get rid of stress. And that's because actually recent research is finding that stress is not in and of itself a bad thing. It's our response to the stress. So if we respond to the stress as sort of like a workout, like I'm going to get stronger through this, and we have that attitude towards it, the stress actually has beneficial effects on our body instead of negative effects, which is what it can have when we respond by being afraid or worrying about the stress. And I know that I really did used to worry when stress would pop up in my life, because I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is bad for my health. Oh no, what do I do? I can't eliminate this. And sometimes we just can't. Sometimes we're just going through stuff. So now what I do is I just really work on my response to the stress and really say, wow, this is making me stronger. It's helping me be a more resilient human being. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to do my best to be in the moment and look at this as a strength-building workout, okay? So that is a great way to start looking at stress. And also, our society is very much fight and flight these days, so it's really definitely a good idea to do some sort of regular relaxation practices, meditation, yoga, stretching, breathing exercises, Tai Chi, visualization, something that works for you. And, you know, even 5 minutes of these really restful activities can do so much to help rebalance that, you know, that synergistic relationship of our parasympathetic nervous system, which is the underused part of us right now, and that's your rest and digest state. It balances out with that overworked sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight or flight response that we're kind of caught in a loop with in our modern society. So definitely creating a healthier balance between these two systems, or these two parts of our nervous system, is really vital to good health. So let's just quickly cover some things to maybe, you know, limit in your daily intake. Caffeine is definitely one of them. In excess, caffeine is going to dry out your mucus sacs, which is, they're what help keep your vocal cords moist and supple. And it's also going to affect the rest of the body. It's going to overstimulate the adrenal glands. Caffeine really flushes out those B vitamins, and it creates these energy spikes and crashes that sort of make us addicted to having more of that caffeine. You know, it's dehydrating. It can cause headaches, anxiety. So we want to be limiting the amount of caffeine as much as possible. And sugar, it's known by many names. You can call it white sugar. You can call it cane sugar, corn syrup, maltodextrin, fructose. And sugar does a number on our bodies. Most of us know this. It really creates an acidic pH, and as we talked about earlier, we want to be moving towards an alkaline pH. It destroys healthy cells. It can lead to illness. It can lead to accelerated aging, problems with hormones. It can unbalance blood sugar levels. It can lead potentially to diabetes. So sugar limiting, I'm not saying don't eat sugar, please. We have to live and have a fun life, right? And for me, I actually did go through about 2 years where I did not eat any processed sugar or honey or chocolate. And I tell you what, looking back, I did not have very much fun during that period of time. I was always worrying about what I was going to eat, and that became more stressful to me than allowing myself to have some joy with my food, okay? I have, however, learned that I really need to stay off of processed sugar personally, because it makes me a crazy person and it makes me obsess about food. So I just really just am so much clearer and happier and more even keel when I'm staying off of that sugar. And it took me a while to transition. Okay, it was a number of years and it was a lot of trial and error. And I'm in a pretty happy place with it right now. But anyway, sugar, alcohol. Alcohol can really cause the vocal cords to swell. So imagine if you've got two puzzle pieces and they got soaked in water and it caused them to expand. They wouldn't really fit together properly the way that they normally would in the puzzle. And that's what happens to our vocal cords when we drink a lot of alcohol. So for somebody who is doing like public speaking or who's doing a lot of singing, that is going to be problematic because it's going to strain. It's going to cause a lot of strain and excess tension and, you know, work for your vocal cords. I'm not saying don't drink alcohol. I personally, I'll be honest with you, I like to have a glass of wine or something like that before I perform. Not beer, because then that makes you burp. This is bubbly. But wine definitely kind of just mellows me out in a really nice way. Okay, but just watch how much you're drinking. Okay, too much aspirin can cause bleeding on the vocal cords because it thins the blood. So you just want to watch your aspirin intake if possible. And then smoking. I don't even know if I needed to say that. It definitely does a number on your voice. There are some essential oils that I've heard of really helping with stopping smoking. One of them is black pepper. I haven't done a lot of research into it, but black pepper and then some oils that have menthol, like those menthol cigarettes, you can make an inhaler out of them, and that can help you have the feeling of your lungs filling with that menthol smoke. And the black pepper, I think, is one of the ingredients. So you might want to look into that. I'm sure there's plenty of information about that out there. And then beverages. Other than water, which is the top of all, herbal tea is a great choice. Again, we talked about caffeine, so drinking a ton of caffeinated tea or coffee is not the best choice, but definitely herbal tea is great. Sugary drinks and fruit juices are not the best in general because, again, of the sugar content. You know, what I love doing is adding some essential oils or fresh squeezed lemon or lime juice to sparkling water, and that's like my soda special treat. But I don't drink that right before I sing because, again, it causes you to burp, and that's not so good when you're trying to sing. Just so you know, nothing that you eat or drink actually touches your vocal cords. It's not supposed to, because if it goes and touches your vocal cords, that means it's going to go down your trachea into your lungs, and we don't want that. That's why you cough if you swallow down the wrong pipe, is what people say, and it's actually because it's going down the wrong pipe. Going down the trachea instead of behind the trachea into the esophagus and into the stomach. So the only way that things are actually going to help your body is by the effects that they're having on your body when you eat or drink something, right? Which is why dairy causes mucus in a lot of people, or honey and lemon can be really soothing and also antibacterial in helping with throat ailments, okay? I want to also note that making sound massages the central nervous system. And believe me, the central nervous system needs massaging. It needs all it can get, probably, in this day and age. So when we make sound, just pay attention to the vibration that's happening in your body. You know, if I go, there's just lovely vibration happening clear down into my pelvic floor. Clear down, I can feel it in my sit bones if I sing really low and I sit on the floor. And what that's doing is that's massaging me internally. It's the only way, in fact, that I can massage myself internally. So just humming a few gentle notes to yourself can have a really wonderfully positive effect, even if it's just and just doing that a few times, okay? It's massaging your muscle tissue, your organs, your bone, your cells. It's massaging everything. And it's actually, if we're going to get metaphysical about it, it's raising our vibration level, literally. It's creating more vibration, and as we know, higher vibration states are associated with higher states of consciousness. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. And, you know, we're about halfway through the show. I'm glad I got all that in. I wasn't sure I'd get it all in. So we're going to break for announcements here. And then we'll come back to talking about the emotional and spiritual side of developing a healthy, empowered, and embodied voice. So, announcements. I teach voice lessons worldwide online via Skype. I have students all over the world. It's really fun. It's weird as far as time zones go, but we make it work. So So I'm doing that, and I'm also on faculty as a voice teacher at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra Music School in Jackson, Michigan. And I'm teaching privately in this little voice studio that I'm in Brooklyn, Michigan. So some of the things I offer are private voice lessons, voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, and sound healing performances with voice, harp, Tibetan bowls, and frame drum. I am currently offering a voice class just to give you an idea of some of the things, some of the ways that this manifests. I'm offering a voice class series at Corinthians Church in Jackson, Michigan, which is a great place, by the way. And we're exploring our voices as windows to our souls and portals to the divine. It's a blast. It's so fun and amazing. This Saturday, I'm going to be doing vocal work with a yoga teacher training group at Bhakti Yoga in Brooklyn, Michigan, and we'll be exploring what it means to truly empower and embody our voices. And a lot of what that means is we'll be making crazy sounds, and it will be really fun. There will be much laughter and astonishment in good ways. So if you want to stay in touch, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. You will receive a free copy of my ebook, 6 Tips to Skyrocketing Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence, when you join that email list. You'll also be part of my autoresponder series, which has a bunch of fun information about the voice and healing and singing and having a good time. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/singingforyoursoul, so I would definitely love to connect with you there. I haven't been as active there lately because I have a lot of projects going on, but I try to be active and post cool things there. If you're interested in voice classes or lessons, or you would like to schedule a workshop or performance, which I'm available to do, or if you would like to donate to support our recording and performing and education efforts at singingforyoursoul.com, you can send an email to info@singingforyoursoul.com, or you can call me at 310-439-9862. Okay. Let's just take a deep breath here for a moment. Just go ahead and breathe in and out, and again in and out. We'll do one more in and out. Okay, that's nice. I can get going pretty fast sometimes, so it's good for me to just take a moment, reset. So let's talk about our emotional and spiritual relationship with our voices. You know, what often happens in sessions with clients is that there's a lot to unpack before we even get to the singing. This is why generally when I offer packages, I ask people to do extended package deals. We'll do like 4 months at a time, because it really can take at least that long for us to really start to have the voice come through and have people really start to have ownership over their voices. It can look a lot of different ways when we're doing this work. Everybody's different. Everyone has different life experiences and different bodies. One client recently, she was tracking our sessions on a spreadsheet, and she told me that she wrote down counseling, not singing, counseling, for the first 5 of our sessions. And, you know, we laughed about that, but it really did take at least those 5 sessions before we really started to dive into the singing. And once we dove in, you know, there were really good things that were able to happen because we had done some of that unpacking and clarifying and setting the groundwork for what we were really doing. You know, we were doing a lot of soul searching and soul singing that prepared for the physical singing. So sometimes it looks like that. You know, I have another client recently who's been uncovering a really deep fear of singing and of being heard. And it feels like it's not from only this lifetime. It feels like it's a lot bigger than just what has happened in this life. So it may be past lives. we, in instances like that, just want to be taking it slow and really coaxing out her voice and asking her voice to speak and giving it a very safe space to begin to be able to speak. So that involves taking time to explore the fear that might be coming up and asking her voice to help us find out how to process and release it so that she's able to more fully step into owning her voice and really being able to be heard. You know, it can really be a truly terrifying thing for someone to be heard. And it can take time to unwind whatever is behind that fear. But that's really part of this exquisite journey of finding our voices. So sometimes we need to let those tears flow. We need to allow the fear to rise up. And we need to be able to move through it with someone who's holding a safe space for that journey. You know, I myself have had times where I have had counseling in my voice lessons with my voice teachers. And there are times when those periods of working with a voice coach in that way did more for my voice than years of vocal techniques did. Not that the vocal technique isn't important, but there comes a point where we need sometimes that emotional, spiritual work to help us unwind the baggage that we can become entangled in around our voices and around perfectionism and around who we really are in the world. I remember in my early 20s, my late teens up through my late 20s, actually, there was a lot of strain around who I thought I wanted to be versus who I really was. And really trying to work to come to terms with that. And that was a big deal for me around idealism and impressing other people and moving away from innocence and through life experience and through the traumas and the difficulties of life. What we're really talking about is the process of developing what I've called, you'll always hear me call it, that voice with a capital V. V as in very. And this voice really encompasses how you sound when you speak or when you sing, but so much more than that, it's how you're showing up in your life. It's the art of exploring and shaping our experiences of fulfillment and of self-expression, of confidence, of health, of relationships, and really of authenticity. And as we work with each of these areas of our lives, we really become more masterful over them. And well-being in each of these areas really means having a well-developed voice with a capital V, which equates definitely to having more overall happiness and fulfillment in your life, okay? Let me pause here to take a sip. So it's really interesting because this has been on my mind as I've prepared for this radio show today, and I actually saw a client yesterday, and he's working through some really big stuff with his relationship with his voice and moving through some really deep fears surrounding his desire to develop and use his artistic abilities and his creativity. And there are some really strong programs that got into his system and, you know, early on at some point, and are popping up as very resistant to allowing him to explore his artistic urgings. And in the past, these fears have continued to crop up and stop him from fully exploring them. It's not that he hasn't explored them, but he feels that, you know, they stop us. You've had this experience, I'm sure. We all do. So he's really determined to work through them this time. This week, he came down with what he described as a psychosomatic illness. He said, I'm really sure that it was psychosomatic, and it manifested as cold-like symptoms. And he felt to an extent like the symptoms were a part of a physical manifestation of that fear wanting to stop him from moving forward. And so he very wisely took some time and did some dialogue writing with his inner child. And he asked that child what it wanted and needed and wrote it out. And some of the things that his inner child said were sing, act, compose, dance. And the one that really resonated with him the most at that moment was dance. So he actually got up and started dancing. And when he was finished with the dance, his cold symptoms had immediately started to clear up. And by the time I saw him yesterday, which was about 24 hours after this happened, they were almost gone, except for some mild, mild stuffiness. So, wow, you know, this is really the power of our inner voice. And when he allowed his inner child to speak, he was given the answer that he needed. And I really believe that in instances like this, the dancing created the kind of movement that he needed to help that stagnant and stuck energy start to flow. And it really helped him to process and confront and move through those fears. And once that relief happened, then the physical symptoms were no longer necessary, right? So this to me is just a beautiful example of developing and dialoguing with our inner voice with a capital V. That dance was a form of his voice expressing itself. And actually, the whole situation was an example of his voice finding and expressing itself. And, you know, feeling the fear and the discomfort and asking his inner child what it wanted and needed, and then giving permission to follow this inspiration and move into a dance. I just was so proud of him. He just did a great job with that whole thing. And it was perfect that it happened yesterday when I was coming into doing this show. So we're really talking about how we're living our lives and how we're in conversation with and communication with ourselves and with other people. And I definitely use dance and sound to heal. I will often dance and bring in sound, do it at the same time, which is a really powerful thing to do. And I'll bring in the attention of releasing blocks and of healing brokenness and of really calling forth more goodness and flow into my life. And actually, I will do that. I will ask for what I'm asking for myself, and then I will ask for that for others as well. I will send it out as an intention for our planet, for those who are needing and receptive to that kind of healing and flow and grace. You can also do it as a gratitude practice. You know, you can just set an intention that you're thankful for life. In fact, that's what I did this morning when I came out. The morning was just so incredibly beautiful, and I've received a few really amazing oracles lately around abundance and some things that I was really struggling with, and I wanted to say thank you. And I came out and I sat in the studio and I sang a song of gratitude, and it's a really profound thing to do. So I've been actually working on a blog, and it's called Singing Myself Whole. And I would like to read an excerpt of it to you, because it's my attempt, my best attempt at putting to words the very profound experiences that I've had through using my voice to help me process my emotions and heal, and the very profound experiences that I've seen other people have. This is from my personal experience. So from my first person experience. So here's an excerpt from this blog that I'm working on. I once had a therapist tell me that she was amazed I had made it through what I've made it through without having a serious mental or physical breakdown. She said that my singing had probably played a huge part in my resilience. I know this to be true. I cannot thank my voice enough for how it's helped me to process grief. I've sobbed and spat my way through angry snarl songs, letting venom fill my words. I've wept songs deeper than the depths of the Grand Canyon and felt myself vast in sorrow, swirled and barren and helpless in the sands of a Serengeti windstorm. I felt my insides would turn themselves out as I choked songs through snot and tears and a strangling knot in my throat. My songs have become full-body dances of fury and desperation flung wildly about me in a frenzy of limbs, shouts, and grunts. And when it was all over and I was collapsed into a spent pile of brokenness, I've never felt so incredibly cleansed, lighter, stronger, and somehow mended. The song, dance, and owning of the impossible feelings of victimhood, regret, rage, they somehow softened into the superglue that held me back together and held on strong. I've left these sessions exhausted, but knowing that I was mended, changed, newly formed from the previously broken parts into something alchemically different, better, at once more human and more divine. So that's one example of how I've used my voice with those really extreme and uncomfortable emotions. And it's some of the most powerful work I think a person can do. So I highly encourage you to try it, to find a safe place where you can make sound and you can move your body and you can practice the art of just allowing yourself to be moved and channeled through. Allow those emotions to speak through your movement and your sound. And you can do this also with happy emotions. I do it to express joy and to comfort and to soothe and to cleanse, to clear, to uplift. And it's seriously as simple as setting an intention and then singing. And people, it is not about how you sound. Scientific research shows that it's not about how good you sound. That is not the point of singing. Singing has incredible health benefits from just singing, whether you're good at it or not. Okay, so, I mean, it can be a silly song that you make up. It can be Mary Had a Little Lamb that you're making up different words to and being really goofy and silly about it. It can be so many different things, and that will be definitely a topic for another show. But I definitely encourage you to just look at it like channeling, that you're allowing something greater and wiser to come forth through your body and help you process and heal. Okay, through sound and through movement. So, you know what? Let me just give you a little example of how that might show up, okay? I'm just going to get quiet here for just a second and just wait for some sound to come through me and see if a little song or something wants to be sung for you all right now, okay? I know you only have one, and I have you. Very simple. And honestly, when I tap into that river, when I go and stand in that river of song, it's not me who is singing. It is something far vaster and more beyond. And it's wonderful because it frees me of fear, of self-consciousness, of what I'm going to sound like. Because with those songs, imperfection in the voice is absolutely exquisite. It's like a shaman. It's like a wrinkled old 100-year-old woman who just knows it. It's the imperfection, the humanity that comes through in those songs. I wasn't warmed up when I just sang that just now, and I didn't care. What's so wonderful is it really removes that self-consciousness and connects us to something so much vaster. So you can play with this yourself and just see what comes through. The more you practice it, the easier it will be to allow these other voices to come through, okay? So here's another great example of how you can use singing to heal or to deal with stress and anxiety. In some research that I was doing, I read that Reed Wilson, who has his doctorate, he's an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill School of Medicine. He says that he believes you can sing your woes away. And the way he says to do this, and I will actually have clients do this too, so I like it when somebody backs me up. He says, simply choose a familiar song and then set your troubles to music. So for example, instead of singing the traditional words to Mary Had a Little Lamb. Imagine singing, my credit card bill is going to be late, going to be late, going to be late, my credit card rating, oh wait, my credit card bill is going to be late. I'm not going to get a mortgage. My credit card rating will be ruined, be ruined, be ruined. My credit card rating will be ruined, and I'll never get a mortgage. Singing that, your own version of the worry song in your mind or out loud for a few minutes, and you will start to feel less anxious. And he says that it works because the singing makes you feel ridiculous. And it's very hard to maintain your distress when you're doing something foolish. And it helps you step back from the worry and really put it in perspective. So that's a fun one to try, is to just make up some words and sing a song, sing your worry song, okay? It's like a worry stone, but a worry song, right? Okay, so we're getting ready to close here. Before we do, I would like to just go ahead and cite some other scientific research around singing and health. I like to do that from time to time because I like to prove my points with some scientific backing. You know, science is a very interesting, especially with quantum physics and the things that are happening these days with the observer, you know, influences the outcome, things like that. But science is still wonderful. So, you know, I want to back this up a little bit. So an interesting study that I found is at the George Washington University, a man named Greg Cohen tracked a group of senior singers in Arlington, Virginia. And the average age of these singers is 80. The youngest is 65. The oldest is 96. And the preliminary data of this tracking of these singers shows that they suffer less depression, make fewer doctor visits a year, take fewer medications, and have increased their other activities. It's pretty powerful, and that would go for any age, right? Another study says that singing boosts the immune system. And according to this research by scientists at the University of Frankfurt in Germany, and published in the latest edition of the U.S. Journal of Behavioral Medicine. Actually, it's probably not the latest now. This is a few years back. But published in the U.S. Journal of Behavioral Medicine, the science tested the blood of people who sang in a professional choir in the city, and they tested their blood before and after a 60-minute rehearsal of Mozart's Requiem. And what they found is that concentrations of immunoglobulin A, which are proteins in the immune system which function as antibodies, and also so that immunoglobulin A and hydrocortisone, which is an anti-stress hormone, both of those increased significantly during the rehearsal. Then they did the study a week later, and they asked members of the choir to just listen to a recording of the Requiem without singing, and guess what they found? They found that the composition of their blood did not change significantly. So the researchers concluded from the study that singing not only strengthened the immune system, but also notably improved the performer's mood. So all of these things that I'm telling people all the time are being backed by studies, which I love. So that's going to about wrap up our show for today. I know that we went a lot of different places. We went high, we went low, we weaved around, but in the end, it really all does weave together. And the short of it is that singing and voice work is really good for you. And wherever you are in your journey, I truly hope that you find your voice and that you find it unfettered and free and healthy and flung to the winds with joy. Be well, everyone. This is Kimberly Harrison at Singing for Your Soul, signing off and sending you much love.